Good morning to each of you. Thank you for tuning in this morning to the Seeds of Truth. Your speaker is Robert Swain. It is my prayer that each one listening has a sincere longing for the truth of God's Word, that we may be honest and fair in our study of the book we call the Bible. Last week, I introduced the study of the Holy Spirit with the promise that we would pursue the study this week. I discussed who is the Holy Spirit. The answer, the Spirit is deity, has divine nature. We saw that the Holy Spirit is a person identified with the personal pronoun He. We also saw how the Spirit communicates His message to man. That is, the Holy Spirit reveals truth through words. And so the Holy Spirit speaks truth and man hears the truth. He does not communicate with man through dreams or feelings or emotions. He deals with man through intelligent words, understandable words. With these thoughts from last week, we continue with the subject of the Holy Spirit. Our first question today is, what does the Holy Spirit communicate? When the disciples were sorrowful about the Lord's announcement that He must soon leave them, He said unto them in John 16 and 7, "It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I go, I will send Him unto you." He then continues in verse 12 of that same opening, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall guide you into all the truth." So the Holy Spirit would provide the apostles with the information they needed after the Lord had returned to heaven. This would include that which He had taught them while He was with them, and it would include all additional information that they would need to carry out their work of preaching the gospel of salvation. In John 14 and 26, our Lord had said to His apostles, "But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said unto you." The Apostle Peter said, "His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness," in 2 Peter 1 and 3. And so from this we conclude that the revelation which the Spirit gave was and is sufficient for our needs. We need not look for something else, something new. In view of 2 Peter 1 and 3 and 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, which we will look into just a little bit later, it is not surprising that the Holy Spirit Himself has warned us against changing or altering the message that was given. I want you to be sure to look at other passages that give us the same warnings, like Deuteronomy 4 and 2, or in Proverbs 30 and 6, or in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I believe with all of this evidence that all of us need to agree and should agree, it is indeed foolish, yea, fatal, to preach another doctrine, that is, to add anything to what has been revealed or to remove anything therefrom. The book we call the Bible, God's revealed truths, cannot be improved upon. There is just no place for later revelations, for additions, or for subtractions. God's book cannot be improved upon. Question, did those who lived during the first century, during the days of the apostles, have enough information to be saved? Who would deny that they did? If they had sufficient information to become the child of God in AD 33, why would it take anything different today to make one a child of God? We have observed thus far in our study on the Holy Spirit that God has revealed Himself to man. This revelation was made by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. It was accomplished through inspired men during the apostolic age of the first century, and it was done by means of intelligible communication through the use of words. And we have also seen that it is final, complete, and all-sufficient to man's needs for salvation. Our next question is, where is this remarkable revelation of God to men to be found? I'm going to read now from 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Now the words inspired of God in this passage translate one Greek word, theopneustos, literally saying God breathed. That is, the Bible claims to be from God as surely as one breath comes from one's body. God breathes through His Word, and as we receive His Word, this breath of life enlivens and motivates us. The words every scripture inspired of God do not mean only such scriptures as are inspired of God, implying that some scriptures are not inspired. The word scripture is never used in the New Testament other than as inspired matter. In the light of this fact, the meaning is every part of scripture, that is, the whole of scripture, all of it, comes from God. There is no part of the scriptures that is not inspired, breathed of God. Now, a second point just here and how important it is, God's word is within the mental reach of every person who is obligated to hear and to obey it. Obviously, small children who cannot understand and as yet learn, are not expected to know and obey these words. But each person who has reached the age of accountability, that is, the age of knowing right from wrong, is capable of hearing and understanding this message. Jesus said, "If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it's of God," John 7 and 17. The will of God has been revealed. It was taught by the Holy Spirit through the medium of intelligible communication, and it may be known only in this matter. It is not by word only, because the Spirit works by means of the word. It is not by spirit only, since the word is the Spirit's instrument. Note another point just here. The Word of God is fully able to accomplish the very purposes intended for it to accomplish. Paul speaks, "Ye received the Word of God which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So here Paul claims that the message which he preached was indeed the Word of God, and that it was able to do all that needed to be done in their lives to produce the faith that saves. Now let's suppose for a moment that in spite of the teachings of the Word of God and the facts which we have just covered, someone comes along and claims divine guidance by the Holy Spirit apart from and independent of the Word. What harm is there in holding such a view? What is wrong with a person thinking that his hunches and his intuition and his so-called inner feelings are promptings of the Holy Spirit? To answer what is wrong with that, I offer four answers. First, it just simply is not so. That view is exactly opposite to what the Scriptures teach. Now please notice, if you receive a message from the Holy Spirit and your neighbor receives a message from the Holy Spirit, would they not agree with each other? And yet those who claim direct revelations from the Holy Spirit differ with each other who make the same claim. And I would like for someone who makes this claim to explain this. I think it's safe to say that I'll not be hearing from anyone with an attempt to answer this perplexing problem that those who make such claims obviously have. And second, the contention that the Holy Spirit encourages, strengthens, and motivates apart from the Word strikes at the claim of the Word of God to be all-sufficient. If there are influences brought upon man apart from and in addition to the revealed Word of God, then this Word is not sufficient, it's not complete, it does not thoroughly furnish us unto every good work. Yet the Book of God very clearly and unmistakably claims to provide for us all that which God intends that we have or need unto our salvation. There is not an area in our life that God's Word does not provide us with everything which we need. And if you know of something else needed, please, please, would you not share it with us? And again, I will not hear from those who make such a claim. Why? Because they know they cannot substantiate their claims, and they know that I know they cannot. And if the Bible provides us with all that we need, and it does, there is simply nothing else needed. If it does not provide us with all that we need, then it becomes a false book, totally undependable. And if we cannot trust the Bible to be true in this matter, then how can we trust it to be true in any other matter? We just as well throw it in the trash can. Thirdly, I have never known anyone who claimed such additional guidance who did not teach some doctrines contrary to the plain teachings of the Holy Spirit in other matters. It must be very clear that the Holy Spirit does not oppose through individuals what he affirms through the New Testament writers. Peter states that God is no respecter of persons in Acts 10 and 34. And therefore, if the Holy Spirit tells you one thing and your neighbor something entirely different, would he not be a respecter of persons? Whom are we to believe? Those who claim to have direct revelation from heaven or the inspired book of God? I rest my case upon the clear, understandable, revealed truth of the Father as it was given by the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. Fourthly, those who hold such views often go into more error until the Bible no longer serves as a standard of their beliefs. How often has one been heard to say, "I know what I feel in my heart, and I don't care what a stack of Bibles say." Here we see one relying upon their inner feelings. Their feelings take precedent over what the Scriptures teach, and so the Scriptures no longer influence them. In matters where people's hunches or inner feelings are in conflict with the New Testament, they do not hesitate to repudiate the New Testament in order to follow the inner feelings they profess to have. And this is a dangerous, yea, fatal mistake. Thus far in our study of the Holy Spirit, I've covered who is the Holy Spirit, how does the Holy Spirit communicate with man, what has the Holy Spirit communicated, and where is the Holy Spirit's communication. In our next study, I'll be discussing the subject, when are we led by the Spirit? Be sure to tune in the Seeds of Truth next Saturday morning at 9:45. Get your recorders and copy the lesson. Check me out with the Word of God, and I'd be glad to hear from you. The Rivermont Church of Christ meets each Sunday morning at 10 and 11, and Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7:30. Please come and study with us as we worship God together. And until next week, I wish you a very pleasant good day and a very pleasant week.